The hailing frequencies are open, patrons, because I'm Jason Inman.
And I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. But you already know that because you're beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon. And today we have kidnapped a beautiful and sexy magic user from the MCU and forced her to come into our universe with us. Susan Damon, welcome to Geek History Lesson.
Extra. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm blown away by that hailing frequencies open because I'm such a geek that I was like, this is the best intro ever.
Susan, it's going to get better. Get ready to rock and roll with this.
Warning. Oh my God. Self-destruct sequence has been initiated.
Oh, I wish you had me on camera.
5 seconds. There will be no further audio warning.
That's a holdover from last year's Doctor Strange Christmas.
Yeah, I've accidentally self-destructed this podcast several times.
Oh my God, I love it.
And then do you know this one? That's Green Lantern's ring from Super Friends.
Gotcha.
I'm not gonna lie. For the second where I was like, wait, is that the scanner from
I thought
TOS?
I thought that too. Yeah. I thought it was the life scanner.
And then,
yeah.
And then we of course have this one. There we go.
We get a lot of use of the red alerts.
Of course.
Welcome back. Thank you for coming back.
Welcome to Sound Effects Corner, everybody.
Yeah, truly.
I know.
I'm going to start with a real easy question for you. What are you like reading, watching, or playing that you're super loving right now?
Oh my God. Well, you guys are getting me towards the end of spooky season. So mm-hmm. I've been in the middle of like reading horror novel recommendations because one of the things that I weirdly like to be is kind of scared, but I don't like watching horror movies. I like horror novels, horror comics.
Mm-hmm. What's some good horror comics then? That's great.
Horror comics, Severed and Witches by Scott Snyder. Both are completely different. In terms of like the type of horror they are, Severed is very much like a realistic, creepy, stalker-ish horror. Mm-hmm. And then Witches speaks for itself.
That's the Witches with the Y, right?
Yes. With the Y, uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. Love both of those. Yeah, those are my two right now that I've been recommending.
Well, you also said books. Can I ask you, were there any like good horror books that you've been reading this October?
Just finished up The Twisted Ones by T. Kingfisher, and that's a good one, especially if you like fantasy, because it's one of those everything seems normal until it's not situations. And it has the added bonus of the main character is cleaning out her hoarder grandmother's terrible house after her grandmother passes away. Yep. And then finds a book and then things ensue.
I thought you were going to say a cat, and I was like, I can't deal with it. If there's a cat in there.
It's funny. There was one. I was recently told recently about a friend who they were like, there was this really great new horror book, and it was very similar to the same setup where they were like, oh yeah, like a grandfather or grandparent passed away, and when they start like unpacking the house, they find a door that nobody has seen before. And then it's like, what's behind the door? Okay, and nobody knows where this door came from.
You definitely have to. That's kind of been my weird theme this whole horror season. Because the one I read right before The Twisted Ones was one called The Death of Mrs. Westerway.
Ooh, what a great title.
Exactly. And it's another one where a relative dies and then her will is messed up. But like, you know, is this person related? Why did she leave the manor to this random person? It's very like Knives Out ish, Knives Out, but in England with a twist.
Have you read House of Leaves?
I have read House of Leaves.
Okay, I'm like 100 pages in House of Leaves right now.
I'm going to repeat a conversation that Ashley and I had literally earlier today at lunch.
Oh, yes.
Ashley is reading House of Leaves. She has not finished it.
No, I'm like a third of the way into it.
But I've heard it from so many different people have read this book. I kind of know the conceit that it's all different fonts and stuff. So Susan, I'm going to ask you as our GHL Extra guest, should I read House of Leaves?
You should read House of Leaves, but you can't half-ass it. Like you have to.
You gotta read all the struck out parts, and you can't skip the notes.
You have to read House of Leaves.
I have to read it.
It's a time investment, and it's also kind of an energy investment because it gets a little exhausting to read it sometimes. Like at certain points, especially when you have to like turn the book upside down and read it backwards. Like there's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I got to the point where I feel like I'm 100 pages in, and it's not that I didn't enjoy the first 100 pages, but I was like, I think it's finally getting somewhere. Oh, I think things are finally happening.
It's 1,000 pages, right?
I don't know. It's a big book.
She's a big girl. Yeah.
And she's like, the pages are bigger, that like, they're not a cute little like 6x8. They're huge.
It's a bigger size book. But yeah, I would say that it's an investment of a lot of things, emotions, time, energy, a lot of those things you need to invest in if you're going to read House of Leaves.
So Susan, we went down some of your horror tastes, but let's get some of your comic book tastes. Like what are your favorite comics? Like what has been some of your favorite comics that you've enjoyed? You know, independent, DC, Marvel, what do you really enjoy?
Of all time or just right now?
Oh, whatever.
Whatever comes to mind.
I'm going to ask you the all time. Like what? Okay, let's say this. Like, if,
oh, that's easy. That's the right? oath. That's the oath.
Yeah.
Just go pick up. If you are an auxiliary or hardcore Doctor Strange fan, or you just like want to know more about him, the oath.
Yes.
Such a good standalone,
yes.
too.
Such
you need,
a good standalone.
You need nothing to get anything out of that book.
I usually say that is the best Doctor Strange story.
Yeah.
I
would say so too. And it's definitely a great one for people who've never read Doctor Strange before,
yes.
to fall in love with Steven as a character. So yeah, the oath.
Steven!
That is also, by the way, the first Doctor Strange storyline that really actually made me give a damn about Wong.
Yeah,
because he's a real character.
He's a real character.
Yeah. He isn't just kind of like Wong.
He's
a player.
Yeah, he's not unimpressive Alfred, mm-hmm. basically.
Greg Pak also does like some really cool things with Wong when he gets on Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So I would be
speaking of him. His Darth Vader run is fantastic. If you guys are Star Wars comics,
I loved the Kieran Gillen Darth Vader run, the original one. That was really good. Yeah,
and Wicked Divine. If you guys are doing Kieran Gillen stuff, yeah.
Kieran Gillen, in my estimation, can do no wrong.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm actually luckily staring at like my trade shelf right now. And so I'm just like, I could just pick off of this.
Oh, nice.
Things.
Nice. Well, are there any DCs out there that you really love?
DCs that I really love are anything that, oh my God, now I can't think of his name. Oh, Tom King. I was like, who's doing Batman? Tom King, Batman's great Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I love the like raunchy titles that are happening right now. I mean, raunchy, risque, whatever. The ones that are like not for kids.
Mm-hmm.
I really like where they're like what they do with Batman and those more so because it feels more like the Batman. So we all around our age, because I think you guys are close to my age.
Speak for yourself. I'm 22.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, Jason's probably like, just turned 21. He can finally have his first alcoholic
I'm
beverage.
Doing it tonight.
Congratulations.
I'm going to go with a Coors.
No, we always say because Hollywood is a disaster, we're like, yeah, we're also old at 21.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I would agree with that. We're all very old at 21. But we grew up with like Batman, the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like this Batman is that they're doing in the like R-rated Batman titles. I can't think of what this line is called. You guys
You mean
know.
The Black Label?
Black Label?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm explaining all around it. And I have two DC experts that I'm talking to. The Black Label, what they're doing, I feel like this is like the grown up Batman. Like we watched Batman, the animated series as a kid and we love kid Batman and what kid Batman can do or Batman for kids. And now we get to read like, what he also does, I think I hit the microphone. So
that's okay. We're passionate.
Hit it one more time.
Just smacking the microphone.
Kid Batman was called Gotham.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, that too as well. And then this is the like next evolution of it. And then I love Green Lantern. I love Green Lantern.
Oh, nice. Did you read Green Lantern Far Sector?
No.
You should check.
Jason calls that Janelle Monáe Green Lantern.
Yeah, it's Janelle Monáe Green Lantern.
What?
Yeah, it's.
What?
She's not Janelle, but she looks like Janelle.
When you
Janelle
see
Monáe.
The covers, it's basically like, to me, it's like the artist was drawing Janelle Monáe as Green Lantern. And it's about a Green Lantern. It's a new African American black lantern who is out on this sector that humans have never been to before. And it's just a 12 issue, self contained sort of alien murder mystery. It's really awesome. It's one of the best comics of last year, easily.
Oh my God, I'm all over this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm all over this.
I think they just put it out in a hardcover, so definitely go check it out.
Yeah, she was very, very popular.
Mm-hmm. She's got a cool costume. Like, she was so popular that they made her part of the regular Green Lantern title.
They would be remiss, in my opinion, if they don't introduce her and make her a main cast member in the Green Lantern mm-hmm. Corps series. Mm-hmm. She's fabulous.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited, because previously my Green Lantern of choice was Sarnik Natu.
Me too.
Good choice.
We have an action figure of her, and I like to make her hold hands with Kyle Rayner.
Yeah. Oh my God, me too. I do the same thing. This is like probably the exact same action figure since there's only ever been one.
There's only been one.
No, I was so mad when they made her a Yellow Lantern. I was like, how dare?
Yeah, I was like, I get that she's Sinestro's daughter. I get it. But she's a Green Lantern for a reason.
That's right.
Everyone.
Anyway. That's right.
Yeah. My lazy casting choice for her right now is Jameela Jamil because she's, you know, beautiful and tall and statuesque. Now, I'd be remiss if I let you leave without talking about this because you've worked with some pretty popular and outstanding geeky brands.
I have.
And you work on the side where you're actually like doing the work. You're not just consuming it. Like you are in the trenches.
Oh my God,
it.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, what are some like unique challenges that you've encountered working in the geeky space, like as a professional that might not come to people's mind? Because people probably think that like working at Elhoffer is all fun and games and chickens.
Why chickens?
Because the owner, she has chickens.
Okay.
That made complete sense to me because Katie keeps chickens in her backyard and she posts them on her story.
I was the audience member that I was like, is there an inside joke I don't know?
Totally is an inside joke you don't know. Yes, there are chickens in our office sometimes.
Fair enough. Sorry to interrupt.
I think one of the things that... So one of the unique things about Elhoffer Design is that it is a women-owned brand that runs, operates completely with women. We do not have a male, like, in our office ever. And that's crazy to me because the geek world is so, and it's a lot more balanced now than it used to be, but it used to be so much about, it was almost a boys club for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And so to work on a brand that has like a uniquely female gaze to it is really different from any other fandom type job that I've ever had because you realize things like more so than we do even now, you realize how important inclusivity is, like how much these characters mean to people. And while that, I'm not saying that like they don't mean anything to men, because they obviously mean something to men. Otherwise, they wouldn't exist for like 100 years. We're coming up on 100 years of some of these characters. Can you believe that? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, we're going to see it in our lifetimes.
I actually think it's crazier these characters aren't in the public domain.
I know. Thanks, Walt Disney.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Mickey. Yeah, like, yay, Mickey Mouse. Thank you. There.
Well, Superman. Like, that's not. They weren't going to let Superman go.
No. Never, I know. Never.
But mostly, it's Disney's fault.
But anyway,
because they're the ones who did the.
But no, you are correct. In about. Less than 20 years, we will cross the 100-year mark of Superman.
Well, I'll be 31.
Yeah, I know.
In 20 years, we'll be 31.
Yeah, that's how math works.
That's how math and time works. Who knows how time works.
We are eternals.
We are eternals. We all exist in the Marvel universe or whatever, the universe of your preference, because no one ages in any of them except Star Trek. They age.
That's right.
That's true. But also in Star Trek, people are still long-lived, right? So like...
True.
You know, we saw... we saw characters who were like supposed to be 120 played by octogenarians.
Well, Dr. McCoy is in the Encounter at Farpoint,
the first
TNG episode. Mm-hmm. I think he's supposed to be like 130 or something like
truly,
that.
Truly, DeForest Kelly only got more adorable with age.
But anyways,
he became like the old grandpa we all want.
but back to your earlier point, I mean, I think that's actually really great. I know I've seen many of the Elhoffer pieces, and I will say like...
Jason's my litmus test of, should I buy this?
Yeah, like it, and good designs are good designs. And to be honest with you, in this fan space, I think it's actually really awesome that you all have this very female driven space, because it doesn't matter whether it's all female, all male, or even mixed. Elhoffer just does great work. The designs are fantastic.
Thank you. And I love when things come together, because the one thing that we care about so much as a company is like doing it justice because of how much these characters mean to everyone involved. Like, we understand, because we just recently released a Scarlet Witch piece that sold out on day one because of how much this character means to everyone.
Was it a crown or a dress or a coat?
It was a tunic and legging set.
Oh, so interesting.
It was her costume.
It's so beautiful.
It was the costume from the end of WandaVision. And one of the reasons it took so long in development was because we needed to do it right. And we kept getting these fabrics back that were like deteriorating, or the the stretch faux leather wasn't stretching the right way and it was causing like tears in bigger sizing or stretch marks in bigger sizings. And we can't have that for someone who loves Wanda so much that they're willing to buy this incredible piece that's admittedly very expensive. We can't have that. So we
all take locally
the time,
made though.
All locally made. And actually part of the fabric was imported from Brazil because we couldn't source it in the United States. So yeah, this piece is elaborate and it's beautiful.
Nice.
I also want to ask, so this might be your answer, but what is your favorite El Hoffer design piece that you've had a chance to work on?
Okay, that I've had a chance to work on is actually the Scarlet Witch piece that I just mentioned.
Is there a different fave besides that?
Yeah,
from like the classic.
Before I worked there, they did a Doctor Strange poncho with the pop collar. So I have that
because
I was a customer before I worked for her. So the pop collar, this new, because we don't bring things back the same way because we like to keep it limited because we are also all collectors. So we don't want to bring back something. And like, I don't want to say like devalue it or like, you know, when you like add water to the limited edition, essentially to water it down. So we didn't do the pop collar again when we brought the poncho back, but it's like a full cape with a full pop collar. And I adore that thing. If you guys go to my Instagram, there's pictures of me.
I was going
to
say, I'm going to dig that out and I'm going to also get, because one of my favorite looks that
go in there right
you've
now.
Ever done, you did a really amazing shoot and I think you put it up for Korean Independence, maybe Spider-Man Day, but you in the silk look is a whole mood for me.
it was for Korean. There's a Korean holiday called Girls Day where they celebrate they celebrate the like blossoms and they all eat like cakes and it's on March 3rd. So yes, that's the picture you're talking about. Yeah. I can't believe you remember that. That's amazing.
Oh yeah, it lives rent free in my mind. Like when I think of you, that is the photo that comes up.
That means so much to me. I love that.
And I also know that you're Korean and Cindy's Korean. So
I have a hilarious Korean mother who refers to silk as Korean Spider-Man.
Not wrong. Adorable.
Yeah, she's like, oh my God, is there a new Korean Spider-Man book? And I'm like, yes, Mom, there's a new Korean Spider-Man book. I need to go to the comic store.
All right, so we're going to wrap up, but we invited you on to talk about Eternal specifically. So this one I want to ask, you did kind of allude to this in the main episode, but which actor in Eternals are you most looking forward to seeing join the MCU? Is it Rob Stark?
It is not actually Rob Stark. Okay, so you use the phrase join the MCU, so I can't say Gemma Chan because she technically is already in it.
Yeah, she's like two other characters, right?
She's Minerva.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited to see Brian Tyree Henry show up, aka Paperboy.
Yes.
Because I'm a big Atlanta fan. So anytime he shows up in anything, I'm like, yes, Paperboy.
You're not like a huge Godzilla vs. Kong stan and you really loved his turn in that?
I watched that movie.
Correct. Correct.
Wait, are you a Kong or are you a Godzilla?
I am for whoever's wielding Stormbreaker. I feel like Stormbreaker was in that movie.
Yes.
Actually, to me, it probably would be Godzilla because I grew up in an Asian household, so I have to
that's
say Godzilla,
fair.
Right?
That's very fair.
Yeah, that's correct. Sorry, I feel like Jason and I both breathed in to say the same thing at the same time.
Oh, I thought Ashley looked right at me and I was like, yeah, what do you want?
I was going to ask Susan we would be remiss if we let her go without reminding everyone where they can follow you, how they can support you.
Well, wait, before we get that, I'm going to throw another blind curveball here.
See, that's
right. Sorry, I'm sorry. Throw another curveball here because I'll throw out the listeners. The listeners are going to hear this about 2 days before Eternals comes out.
Okay.
And again, as we said, Ashley and I have seen Eternals.
Yeah.
But Susan, in case you want, I will tell you this. We will answer one question with only a yes or no.
Oh, I already asked my question.
Morning. Ask another one. I don't know.
We asked it when we were not recording.
Oh, that's right.
I don't want to ask that one.
Don't ask that one.
that's a boring one.
Yeah.
A yes or no question. Only one? Okay. Because I like was like, oh,
right, I'll give you two. I'll give you two. I'll give you two. Because the listeners might enjoy this as well as like a sneak peek or our patrons before they see the movie.
Okay. Now they're gonna judge me on my question because I'm probably gonna ask something real dumb.
Well,
let's
to
be,
hell
let's
with
be
them.
Honest. This is the internet. They've been judging you the whole time.
Oh, that's true. They're like, I can't believe she said this and this. I can't believe that she loves Green Lantern but hasn't read this one book. That's
Everyone here on the Patreon is really lovely. And
we have a lot. We have some very amazing super friends.
I know. Mostly in Patreon spaces, you wind up with the best of the best.
Yeah.
So, okay. So my one question is, this is such a stupid question.
Great.
But oh my God.
No such thing as stupid questions.
No, there actually is.
Oh, all right.
I run social media.
Garfield does not appear in the movie. I'll spoil that right away. So
crap.
No,
I was
Garfield.
Really hoping
Sorry.
For Garfield to Sorry. Be in the movie.
A lot of lasagna talk, which is weird, but there's no Garfield.
I guess my question is, how long, that's not a yes or no question. Never mind. I was going to say, how long does it take to get them together as a team? Because I feel like this movie.
Long.
Long.
Yes is the answer. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, oh. I'm long.
So then I guess my second question, since I'm allowed to, is if it takes a long time to get them together, then there has to be at least like a through line character, like the string who's pulling at everybody. I feel like it should be Icarus, but I also think I'm wrong there.
That's a yes, but no.
Okay.
Wait, is the question, is Icarus the POV
the
character?
The main character, yeah.
No.
Icarus
is not the POV, but Icarus is pretty important.
Ashley is correct. It's sort of a yes, no.
Yeah.
And that's all I can say.
You're not wrong, but you're not totally correct.
You're not totally correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
Please
that's all you get.
When you've seen it, if that made any sense to you.
Oh, I totally will. Because now I'm pretty sure I know who the main character is.
You definitely do.
Okay. And I specifically chose Icarus to ask that question, like, strategically, because I was like, if the answer is this, then I think I know who the main character is.
Of course, it's Kit Harington, who we have on the phone. He came back.
Yes!
He's like, I heard what you said about me as Jon Snow 2 years ago.
Hold on, we're calling right now. He's not answering. I'm sorry, Susan. He's still mad.
He's still mad that I like his wife better than him.
Yeah, yeah. He texted me. He said, I'm not answering.
He's like, I'm so not answering.
He's mad that we said Richard Madden was better.
We like his brother in Game of Thrones and also his wife better. He's like, guys.
Well,
I was the chosen one.
Yeah,
really.
Well, Susan, thank you so much again for joining us on here on Patreon. Please remind our patrons of your podcast and when it's coming back.
Sure. I am the co-host of a little show called MCU Explained, and we are coming back for the Hawkeye show. We've taken a little break. So you can find us at MCU_explained across platforms. That's YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you can just type it in. We show up if you're curious to follow us. And then me personally, I'm at Blue, spelled B-L-O-O, like Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. Blue Susan, B-L-O-O-S-U-S-A-N, across platforms as well.
Well, thank you so much, Susan, again, for joining us. And listeners, thank you so much for joining us here on Patreon. It's because of you that we can do these extra episodes and yes and no questions. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Goodbye, super friends.
Bye.